The Book of Daniel, number 189, The Prophetic Tapestry of the Battle of Panium, a Prelude to the Sunday Law. Key takeaways. The article delves into the profound spiritual and prophetic dimensions of the Battle of Panium, framing it as a precursor to significant end-time events, most notably the Sunday Law. It presents a nuanced interpretation that links this ancient battle with the forthcoming Sunday Law, underpinning a narrative where the spiritual warfare of Panium transcends into the enactment of the Sunday Law by the United States. This legislation, symbolizing a union between apostate Protestantism and papal principles, marks a pivotal moment in biblical prophecy, leading to a global conflict akin to the Third World War. The narrative is enriched with symbolic interpretations of terms such as pan and act, which are woven into the discourse to underscore the universal and dramatic nature of these prophetic events. Through a detailed exegesis, the article connects historical battles, biblical prophecies, and modern-day events to sketch a comprehensive picture of the unfolding end-time scenario, highlighted by the formation of the image of the beast in the United States and the subsequent global repercussions. The Battle of Panium is portrayed as a spiritual precursor to the imminent Sunday Law, with significant prophetic implications for the end times. The article positions the enactment of the Sunday Law as a critical juncture, symbolizing the union of apostate Protestantism with papal doctrines, thereby fulfilling key biblical prophecies. A parallel is drawn between ancient battles and modern spiritual warfare, culminating in a global conflict likened to the Third World War, following the establishment of the Sunday Law. The narrative employs symbolic interpretations of terms like pan and act to emphasize the universal and dramatic aspects of these prophetic events, integrating them into a broader eschatological framework. The impending Sunday Law is depicted as a decisive moment that leads to the healing of the papacy's deadly wound, signaling the start of its temporary dominion until its eventual downfall. The article elucidates the formation of the image of the beast within the United States, prefiguring a nationwide test of faith before its global imposition, mirroring the initial rebellion in the Garden of Eden. Through the lens of biblical prophecy, the piece highlights the spiritual significance of the Battle of Panium and its role in setting the stage for the ultimate confrontation between divine principles and worldly decrees. The narrative concludes with a call to awareness and preparation for the looming crisis, emphasizing the nearness of the end and the urgency of understanding and responding to the unfolding prophetic events. The Battle of Panium was essentially spiritual warfare. Just before the Sunday Law, the 8th president, who is the 7th, 5th, since Ronald Reagan at the time of the end in 1989, who is also the last Republican president, and who is the richest president, and who also stirs up all the realm of globalism, will lead apostate Protestantism in defeating the Greek religion of Pan, which is the woke-ism of globalism. In verses 11 and 12, the history that begins at the Ukraine War in 2014 concludes at the Sunday Law in verse 16. Verse 15 is the Battle of Panium, and the Battle of Panium leads to the Battle of Actium, which is the Third World War. At the hour of the great earthquake, which is the Sunday Law of verse 16, Islam of the Third Woe attacks the United States, angering the nations and producing national ruin. It is the Battle of Panium that precedes that attack. At the Sunday Law, the threefold union of the dragon, the beast, and false prophet is established. By the decree enforcing the institution of the papacy in violation of the law of God, our nation will disconnect herself fully from righteousness. When Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, when, under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehoods and delusions, then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan and that the end is near. Testimonies, Volume 5, 451. At that point, the papacy's deadly wound is fully healed, and she rules supremely until she finally comes to her end with none to help. It is when Rome conquers the third obstacle that she rules, as represented by pagan Rome in Daniel chapter 8, verse 9, and in chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. When Papal Rome removed the three horns, she ruled supremely for 1260 years, as did pagan Rome rule supremely for 360 years once it conquered Egypt, the third obstacle at the Battle of Actium in 31 BC. In grammar, the suffix -ium is added to the end of a word to form a noun that denotes a place, a state, or a collection of something. It is commonly used in the formation of technical and scientific terms, particularly in chemistry and biology. For example, stadium refers to a place for athletic competitions or other events. Aquarium refers to a place where aquatic organisms or plants are kept for display, and gymnasium refers to a place for physical exercise or training. In scientific terminology, ium is often used to indicate a chemical element or compound, particularly when the element or compound has been isolated or discovered. For example, sodium refers to a chemical element with the symbol Na. Calcium refers to a chemical element with the symbol A. The beginning of pagan Rome ruling supremely was accomplished at the Battle of Actium, and the Battle of Panium opened the door to the war represented by Actium, for line upon line. Actium represents the Sunday law when the papacy again rules the world supremely. Actium was a sea battle, and Panium was a ground battle. Thus, the connection of the two battles represents a battle that is worldwide, encompassing land and sea. Actium, the most famous sea battle of ancient history, also represents a worldwide war, for the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Panium represents a spiritual war that is combined with a political war at the soon coming Sunday law. The word pan as a noun has multiple meanings depending on the context, but in Greek mythology, Pan is the god of shepherds, flocks, rustic music, and wilderness. He is often depicted as a half-man, half-goat figure, known for his love of music and nature. As the crowning act in the great drama of deception, Satan himself will personate Christ. The church has long professed to look to the Savior's advent as the consummation of her hopes. Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. In different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in the Revelation, Revelation 1:13-15. The Great Controversy, 6:24. Pan is the shepherd god and will personate the true shepherd. Satan's personation of Christ begins at the Sunday law, for at the decree, we may then know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan and that the end is near. The word pan can also refer to a shallow, wide-rimmed cooking vessel used for frying, baking, or cooking food. The final war is centered upon spiritual Jerusalem, the holy mountain that is lifted up as an ensign, and the mountain that God's other flock that are still in Babylon flee unto. At that time, all nations will come against spiritual Jerusalem, which is identified as a cup, pan. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Zechariah 12:1-3. Jerusalem is also the cauldron, for it is the pan where the drama is carried out. A cauldron is a cooking pan. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, it is not near, let us build houses, this city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them, prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and said unto me, speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Ye have multiplied your slain in this city, and ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, your slain whom ye have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron, but I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. Ye have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof, and deliver you into the hands of strangers, and will execute judgments among you. Ye shall fall by the sword. I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst thereof, but I will judge you in the border of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, for ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you. Ezekiel 11:2-12. In English, pan as a prefix means universal, all, or across. For example, panorama refers to a wide or comprehensive view of an area. Pantheism refers to the belief that the universe is divine, and Pan-American refers to something involving all the countries of the Americas. Thus, Pan identifies a worldwide war. Satan is diverting minds with unimportant questions in order that they shall not, with clear and distinct vision, see matters of vast importance. The enemy is planning to ensnare the world. The so-called Christian world is to be the theater of great and decisive actions. Men in authority will enact laws controlling the conscience, after the example of the papacy. Babylon will make all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Every nation will be involved. Selected Messages, Book 3, 392. The word act as a noun means a formal written decision or statute enacted by a legislative body. When our nation shall so abjure the principles of its government as to enact a Sunday law, Protestantism will in this act join hands with popery. Testimonies, Volume 5, 712. The so-called Christian world is a theater of great actions or acts, and every nation pan will be involved. The word act can also refer to a division or segment of a play, movie, or other performance, typically characterized by a particular set of events or actions. The word act as a verb means to perform a specific action or behave in a certain way. It can also refer to pretending or playing a role, as in acting in a play or film. The world is a theater. The actors, its inhabitants, are preparing to act their part in the last great drama. God is lost sight of. With the great masses of mankind, there is no unity, except as men confederate to accomplish their selfish purposes. God is looking on. His purposes in regard to his rebellious subjects will be fulfilled. The world has not been given into the hands of men, though God is permitting the elements of confusion and disorder to bear sway for a season. A power from beneath is working to bring about the last great scenes in the drama, Satan coming as Christ and working with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are binding themselves together in secret societies. Those who are yielding to the passion for confederation are working out the plans of the enemy. The cause will be followed by the effect. Transgression has almost reached its limit. Confusion fills the world, and a great terror is soon to come upon human beings. The end is very near. We who know the truth should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. Review and Herald, September 10, 1903. Paneum and Actium represent the Third World War. In that war, there will be supernatural manifestations, as represented by the Greek goat god Pan. The war will be associated with the enforcement of the Sunday law as an act, and the war is identified as the last scenes in the great drama, for it is not only the legal act of enforcing Sunday legislation, it is also the climax of the gospel drama in the closing hours of human probation. In advance of the battle where Panium and Actium prophetically join, in verse 16 of Daniel chapter 11, God's last day army will already be raised up, and their banner, which is an ensign, will then be lifted up. The primary meaning of ensign is the banner of an army. Act and Pan are Actium and Panium, and the wonderful linguist controlled the geography, the names, and the history of both battles, for it is the history immediately before the soon coming Sunday law. The Battle of Panium took place in 200 BC, and verse 16 identifies Rome conquering Jerusalem in 63 BC. Between the history and the last days that is represented by the period from 200 BC to 63 BC, the formation of the image of the beast in the United States will be accomplished, as represented by the history of 161 BC to 158 BC. Before the period where the final movements of erecting an image of the beast in the United States, there will be an event represented by the revolt of Modin in 167 BC. The revolt is typified by the revolt against the forced religion of Greece, and the revolt will lead to a waymark represented by the rededication of the temple in 164 BC. 164 BC is commemorated by Judaism because of the miracle of a day's worth of holy oil lasting for 8 days. Thus, 164 BC, which precedes 161 BC, identifies a satanic miracle that was accomplished for the apostate people of God. The miracle is represented as one day producing 8 days, and that first day's oil was what supplied the entire 8 days. The miracle was brought upon the one part that was of the seven, and this waymark is set within the very history where the enigma of the eighth that is of the seven being accomplished upon both the apostate Republican horn and the apostate Protestant horn. The manifestation of satanic miracles before the soon coming Sunday law is associated with the Greek god Pan. When the Battle of Panium is waged and won by Trump and apostate Protestantism, Pandora's box will have been opened, and there will be no way to solve the problems that are then released upon mankind, for a great terror is soon to come upon human beings. The end is very near. We who know the truth should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. The 144,000 are those that have been sealed by the sanctifying power of God's word, which was provided through the unsealing of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That revelation includes several specific lines of truth, and it provides sanctified instruction of who Jesus is. As the Word of God, He is the wonderful linguist who has controlled all human language, since through His power He brought about the various languages when He rained down confusion at the Tower of Babel. He is the wonderful numberer that has hidden secrets with the numbers set forth in His word and within His entire creation. He is the controller of history, for history is His story. He created the earth, and He controlled the geographical form of planet Earth after the flood, and therefore the various prophetic geographies that make up the truths found in His word. The 144,000 represent, among other things, those who manifest faith that He created all things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John 1:1-3. The story of Pandora's box is a myth from ancient Greek mythology. It is primarily recounted in Works and Days, by the Greek poet Hesiod, and in various other classical sources. It is obviously a paraphrase of the experience of Eve in the Garden of Eden. The name Pandora comes from ancient Greek mythology. It is derived from the Greek words pan, meaning all, dora, meaning gifts. Pandora means all gifted. Eve is the symbol of the church, and all gifts are found within God's church. In Greek mythology, Pandora was the first mortal woman created by the gods. According to the myth, she was crafted by Hephaestus at the command of Zeus, the king of the gods, as part of a plan to punish humanity. Each of the gods contributed gifts to Pandora, including beauty, grace, intelligence, and charm. Zeus gave her a jar. In later retellings, it became a box, and instructed her never to open it under any circumstances. Eve was told she could eat of every tree except of the tree in the midst of the garden. Pandora, overcome by curiosity, eventually succumbed to temptation and opened the jar. Upon doing so, all the evils, pains, and diseases that had previously been kept inside were released into the world, spreading suffering and misery among humanity. However, one thing remained in the jar: hope. In some versions of the myth, Pandora quickly closed the jar, preventing hope from escaping, while in others, hope also emerged, providing humanity with a glimmer of optimism and resilience in the face of adversity. The Battle of Panium joins the Battle of Actium at the soon coming Sunday Law, and the soon coming Sunday Law was typified by the test in the Garden of Eden. In the garden, the test was simply for Adam and Eve, but in the last days, the test needed to confront all mankind around the entire world. The first test of believing or disbelieving God's word in the garden typifies the last test of the Sunday law. Eve failed that first test and opened the floodgates of woe upon mankind, as represented in the myth of Pandora. When the Battle of Panium joins the Battle of Actium, the test represented in the Garden of Eden will open upon all mankind. The hope that is then provided for the world is the ensign that is lifted up for all the world, panorama, to see. All ye inhabitants of the world, and dwellers on the earth, see ye when He lifteth up an ensign on the mountains, and when He bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. Isaiah 18:3. We will continue this study in the next article. The world is a theater. The actors, its inhabitants, are preparing to act their part in the last great drama. With the great masses of mankind, there is no unity, except as men confederate to accomplish their selfish purposes. God is looking on. His purposes in regard to his rebellious subjects will be fulfilled. The world has not been given into the hands of men, though God is permitting the elements of confusion and disorder to bear sway for a season. A power from beneath is working to bring about the last great scenes in the drama. Satan coming as Christ, and working with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are binding themselves together in secret societies. Those who are yielding to the passion for confederation are working out the plans of the enemy. The cause will be followed by the effect. Never did this message apply with greater force than it applies today. More and more the world is setting at naught the claims of God. Men have become bold in transgression. The wickedness of the inhabitants of the world has almost filled up the measure of their iniquity. This earth has almost reached the place where God will permit the destroyer to work his will upon it. The substitution of the laws of men for the law of God, the exaltation, by merely human authority, of Sunday in place of the Bible Sabbath, is the last act in the drama. When this substitution becomes universal, God will reveal himself. He will arise in his majesty to shake terribly the earth. He will come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the world for their iniquity, and the earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. We are standing on the threshold of the crisis of the ages. In quick succession, the judgments of God will follow one another, fire and flood and earthquake with war and bloodshed. We are not to be surprised at this time by events both great and decisive, for the angel of mercy cannot remain much longer to shelter the impenitent. The crisis is stealing gradually upon us. The sun shines in the heavens, passing over its usual round, and the heavens still declare the glory of God. Men are still eating and drinking, planting and building, marrying and giving in marriage. Merchants are still buying and selling. Men are jostling one against another, contending for the highest place. Pleasure lovers are still crowding to theaters, horse races, gambling hells. The highest excitement prevails, yet probation's hour is fast closing, and every case is about to be eternally decided. Satan sees that his time is short. He has set all his agencies at work that men may be deceived, deluded, occupied, and entranced until the day of probation shall be ended, and the door of mercy forever shut. Transgression has almost reached its limit. Confusion fills the world, and a great terror is soon to come upon human beings. The end is very near. We who know the truth should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. In this time of prevailing iniquity, we may know that the last great crisis is at hand. When the defiance of God's law is almost universal, when his people are oppressed and afflicted by their fellow men, the Lord will interpose. We are standing upon the threshold of great and solemn events. Prophecies are fulfilling. Strange, eventful history is being recorded in the books of heaven. Everything in our world is in agitation. There are wars and rumors of wars. The nations are angry, and the time of the dead has come that they should be judged. Events are changing to bring about the day of God, which hasteth greatly. Only a moment of time, as it were, yet remains. But while already nation is rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom, there is not now a general engagement. As yet the four winds are held until the servants of God shall be sealed in their foreheads. Then the powers of earth will marshal their forces for the last great battle. Christian Service 50:51.